In the early 1990s, I was an undergraduate student and working at a coffee shop in Newark, California called Newark Java. Although not the hippest looking coffee shop, it pulled in a pretty hip crowd. Or at least for Newark it did. Newark was a home of a lot of suburban youth culture back in the early 90s. This was in main part due to the fact that the city's historic farms were traded in for housing and commercial development back in the late 70s. And following this development came young couples with their children. By the early 1990s, most of these children had graduated from the local schools and established themselves in the identity incubators collectively known as coffee shops, community way stations for the connected, the disconnected, the bored, and those simply looking for a fancy cup of coffee. So there I was, an undergraduate student and barista, working for an under-the-counter, tax-free paycheck, studying in between customers and chatting it up with the willing. While working in Newark Java, I met some pretty interesting characters. Indie musicians, suburban graffiti artists, postmodern philosophers, dedicated students, cross-dressing laborers, manic spiritualists, slackers, inspired.comers, and Boyd. Boyd was an older gentleman who came into the coffee shop just about every Saturday afternoon, a shift I worked my entire tenure at Newark Java. Standing out amidst the multitude of teens and 20-somethings, Boyd's most prominent feature, besides his exuberant disposition and steady smile, was his belt buckle that read, you guessed it, Boyd. It was this belt buckle, and not Boyd himself, that cued me into his name. Moreover, it was this belt buckle which led to my narrow-minded and usefully arrogant conclusion that Boyd was essentially a dork. A nice old man, mind you, likely a grandfather and a good husband to a nice old lady, but a dork nevertheless. I held this belief regarding Boyd for some time. At least a year. Then one hot Saturday afternoon, Boyd and I were alone in the coffee shop together. I was put in my place in a way I would never have expected. From behind the counter, as Boyd was drinking his vanilla iced latte and squinting out the window towards the setting sun, I sarcastically said, you know, Boyd, I've always admired that belt buckle of yours. Oh yeah? Boyd questioned as he turned from the glow of the orange and red that was saturating his table. It's one of my most prized possessions. I had to ask why. Boyd continued in his hallmark exuberant tone. When I was a kid, the other boys in town didn't like me much. If you could believe it, they thought I was a dork and called me slow. Anyway, one day the general store started selling name belt buckles, and soon all the boys in town were wearing them. So I asked my folks if they'd get me one, thinking if they did, I'd be more like the other boys, and then maybe they'd like me more on account of it. But my folks said no, the belt buckles were too expensive. And that if I wanted one, I'd have to work, save up, and get one for myself. So I mowed my neighbors' lawns. I picked up their leaves, washed their rain gutters, all in an attempt to raise the $5 I needed to buy a Boyd belt buckle. 2 weeks later, I had the money I needed to head out to the store. Once inside, I spun the wire carousel around looking for a belt buckle with my name on it. But I didn't see one. They had Jason, Bob, Joe, Mike, Jim. They even had Floyd, but no Boyd. So I asked the store manager if they could order me one, and he told me, Boyd belt buckles don't exist. They don't make them. I was pretty upset. Years later, I graduated from high school. Shortly after that, Pearl Harbor was attacked. Not good at much, and having no idea what I was going to do with my life, I decided to join the Army. Once out of boot camp, I was trained how to weld. After that, I transferred to the 701st Maintenance Battalion and serviced the 1st American Infantry Division. These were some of the scariest and most contributing years of my life. You see, I wasn't good at much. I couldn't read so well. I couldn't do math. I really didn't know much about anything, but I could weld. As a welder, for the first time in my life, people were impressed with me. Nothing I welded ever failed. My hand was steady, and my travel speed was perfect. You see, if your weld travel speed is too fast, the pull doesn't last long enough, and impurities and gases are locked inside. The bead is narrow, and the ripples are pointed. When the travel speed is too slow, the metal piles up, and the bead is high and wide. What you want is a straight ripple. And all my welds, damn near from the first time I ever welded something, were straight arrow ripples. After my service was up, I headed back to home and opened a welding shop in my folks' garage. Then, after that, I raised up enough money, I opened my own shop. Eventually, I met my wife, had a few children, and my children had a few children. Back in the late 70s, I handed off my shop to one of my sons and retired. My wife wanted to live in the sunny California, so we headed out here. Before I left my hometown, I got something I always wanted from that general store, a Boyd belt buckle. Only instead of buying one, they still didn't sell the damn things. I welded one out of a Snap Bob and Floyd belt buckle. You see, son, this belt buckle represents everything good that's ever happened to me. It represents the pride I gained from welding, my warriors, my career, my family. That's why it's one of the most prized possessions I own. I was stunned by Boyd's story. I'd been a fool, and unbeknownst to him, I'd been put in my place. But a lesson was learned that day, a lesson I will never forget. And that lesson was taught to me by a man named Boyd.